My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. We wanted to get his reaction today to the Obama administration ordering every public school in America to allow people to access locker rooms, bathrooms, and changing areas based on their gender identity rather than their biological sex. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matt, the Justice Department put out a statement on Friday, part of which reads, quote, "Under Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, schools receiving federal money may not discriminate based on a student's sex, including a student's transgender status. The guidance makes clear that both federal agencies treat a student's gender identity as the student's sex for purposes of enforcing Title IX." So looking back 44 years, I guess it is now, Matt, what's your analysis of the administration believing that the definition of sex in 1972 included the idea of gender identity and transgenderism?
Well, common sense says that back in 1972, no one was thinking that sex included somebody's fictitious mind games of thinking that they're the opposite gender. I mean, that just turns it on its head. That means a man can be a woman can be a man. There's no real protection for the sexes. Then it eviscerates the statute. It has nothing to do with its intent. In fact, Congress multiple times over the last 10, 15 years has rejected attempts to include sexual orientation or gender identity in any of the federal laws. They've specifically rejected those attempts. So the Obama administration is attempting to do what Congress has rejected and what was clearly not on the thinking of those back in 1972 with Title IX or 1964 with Title VII, the employment and other accommodation non-discrimination laws.
Of course, the issue that's raised in that paragraph that I read is schools receiving federal money. That is one of the threats here. The administration can't unilaterally insist that schools do this, but they essentially say, if you don't, we're very likely going to withhold federal funding from you, which the lieutenant governor of Texas has said this is just going to deprive underprivileged kids from getting their meals at school during the day. The other option, of course, is suing these school districts and forcing them to do it through the court. So what do you make of the Obama administration trying to essentially change policy nationwide on a unilateral basis?
Well, first of all, they have no legal authority for this letter. It absolutely is contrary to the law. They're making it up as they go. They're going to lose this in a legal challenge. The fact is also that it shows how radical this agenda is to elevate this sexual, evolutionary, anarchist kind of agenda that you can think, therefore, you are something that you're really not, over the well-being and interest of students, over the well-being and interest in protections of religious freedom. They really could care less. I mean, it is the top priority agenda for this administration, and they don't care whether little boys and girls don't have their school lunches. Fine, they're not going to eat, but we're going to allow boys to go into the girls' restrooms, shower rooms, and locker rooms. That's their agenda. It's actually very perverted and, frankly, dangerous. Schools need to be protecting girls. They shouldn't allow boys into the shower facilities or locker rooms or restrooms. Girls that have been sexually assaulted certainly are obviously in fear of their own privacy and personal safety. They need to be protecting these girls, not putting targets on their back. And frankly, if any school buckles to this nonsense, we encourage families and communities to hold those school officials and those school boards accountable for the sexual assaults that no doubt will come in light of these kinds of policies and these agendas.
Matt, you and I have talked about the administration's policies on issues like this, like marriage, other similar issues over the past several years. What do you believe the administration's overall goal is on these social policies?
Well, the overall agenda, the overall agenda is to abolish the concept of gender, as strange as it sounds, because gender is objective and it's a reality, male and female. There's biology and physiology, and it's indisputable. They want to abolish the concept of gender. So there is no male, there is no female. It's all a product of your mind. You can think, therefore you are whatever you want to be, and you ought to be treated that way. I mean, that's Never Neverland. That's George Orwell's 1984. This is turning reality into some kind of fiction-based living situation. The reason why they want to abolish gender is because they also want to remove any kind of moral construct regarding human sexuality, and ultimately they want to abolish gender so that they can abolish the very notion of the Creator, God Himself, who created you and I in His image, male and female. God created you and I distinctly different and yet complementary, and they want to abolish all of that. I think the agenda is a very vicious one. It's an anti-objective reality agenda. It's an anti-truth agenda. It is a very destructive agenda, and at the end of the day, it's an anti-God agenda.
A couple other very interesting points here, Matt. I'm going to read directly from the Justice Department letter again. It says, the guidance explains that when students or their parents, as appropriate, notify a school that a student is transgender, the school must treat the student consistent with the student's gender identity. And this, a school may not require transgender students to have a medical diagnosis, undergo any medical treatment, or produce a birth certificate or other identification document before treating them consistent with their gender identity. What do you make of that approach?
Well, you know, in fact, if they had a medical diagnosis, it would be that they have a mental disorder. Let's just be very frank. This is not normal. This is a mental disorder, just as much as anorexia or bulimia, or even worse, apotemnophilia, someone who thinks that they are a disabled person inhabiting an abled body. Yes, there are people that think that way. Those are not normal. This is a mental disorder, and we shouldn't wrap the rest of the country around people who need to have mental behavior modification and counseling. That's, in fact, what we have here. And to do these kinds of policies, it doesn't help these individuals who are confused about whether they're male or female. It complicates situations. It ultimately results in actions that could be long-term negative effects on these young boys or girls, whether they're taking hormone-blocking medication or whatever they might be going through at that time. In fact, what it does to the rest of society is it puts the rest of society at risk.
Matt, as you well know, activists from the LGBT perspective would say, look, all the concern over these policies is unfounded because there just aren't that many instances of truly transgender people causing any sorts of problems in these facilities. However, at the same time, we have seen reports lately of men dressing up as women to gain access to public restrooms and either trying to film girls or women or possibly even preparing to assault them in some way. So are you more concerned about the threat posed by transgenders or others, predators, for example, who might be trying to exploit the law?
I'm concerned for everyone, for those that have confused minds. It certainly doesn't help to suggest that it's normal. It's not, any more than it would be suggestive that, you know, even though you want to regurgitate your food, even though you're not overweight, that that's okay. We're going to do something that protects that. That just doesn't help the individual. Not only that, it puts other people at risk. And by the way, there are situations not of just men abusing these policies or boys abusing the policies and going into women's facilities or girls' facilities, but also of so-called people who are transvestites or think that they want to be the opposite gender. There's Colleen Scott Francis out west, Evergreen State College. There, Colleen still has male genitalia but dresses like a woman and identifies as a woman, goes into the sauna and completely disrobes in front of the girls. They're fearful for their lives. They're shocked by what they see. And when they complain, they're told there's nothing that the school can do because it has a so-called gender identity policy. So their rights are abused and trampled. They have to find some other place to shower when they prepare for their sporting activities. It's just absolutely absurd to take this minuscule number of people and wrap the rest of the country around it and pretend like all that's going on in their mind, as disturbed as it is somehow normal, and we've got to protect it.
Where do you see the Republican Party right now on this? I ask that for two reasons. Number one, the presumptive presidential nominee, Donald Trump, has said in recent weeks that he agrees with the liberal position on this issue and that people should use these facilities according to how they identify themselves. Although on Friday, he did say he believes that should be decided by the states. And there are 300 approximately Republicans in the House and Senate put together. I had zero press releases or statements from members on the Republican side about the Obama administration action on this. So where is the Republican Party? Where are conservatives in this debate?
Well, I could have no idea where the Republican Party is, and certainly have no idea where Donald Trump is from any one speech to the next because it seems to be a variation. So I won't wade into those waters. I can tell you, however, that the most majority of people, the common sense thinkers, whether they're conservative or not, do not want men to go into women's shower rooms, restrooms, and locker rooms. It's an offense to women. I was on a national radio program the other day, and a woman called in who's disabled, who also, unfortunately, has been the target of sexual assault. She was weeping on the phone for fear of having these kinds of things happen in these restrooms. This ignores real people who have encountered and experienced real sexual assaults. It paints targets on their back. At Liberty Counsel's website, we have a list of 50 incidents that we put together quickly, showing how these policies have been abused and how women have been hurt.
Matt, we'll have to call time there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Matthew Staver is founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.